in Christ Jesus, and that name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee bows, every tongue confesses that He, Jesus Christ, indeed is Lord. Yeah, you know, we got to keep putting that reminder out there, because amidst the wickedness, amidst the delusion that the wicked have, that they're getting their way, hey, you know, success in the eyes of the world can be a very strong intoxication. And for those that have success in the eyes of the world, but have no connection with Spirit, no connection with the Father, they are bankrupt in an eternal sense. But that is part of that strong delusion, that because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion, that they, believing the lie, may be damned. And part of that delusion that they have is that they are in control, that they have power, that they have position, that they have the ability to affect their destiny like they do. You remember what Pilate said to Jesus when he was in the middle of that whole trial process? He said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you?" See, strong delusion. What did Jesus say in that case? Because he had to put the record straight. He said, "You would have no power over me unless it was given to you of the Father. And the one that handed me over to you, he is guilty of a greater sin." Now, here's another thing too. The people that engage in the things that they do, and they think because they do it by proxy, because they get somebody else to do their dirty work, they think that their hands are clean. And they're not. Make a note of this. Their hands are not clean. Because they think that, okay, I'm sending... it's somebody else that shot the bullet. It's somebody else that blew that up. It's somebody else that carried out the instruction. And therefore, they are the ones who are the killers. But not me. No. That doesn't work like that. You know, when David had Uriah, the Hittite, killed to get Bathsheba, what did God say? He said, "You are guilty of his blood." So he didn't get away with that. He said, "Whom you slew with the sword of," I think it's the Ammonites, but he slew with the sword of the enemy. You tossed him out there to die. You knew that that was what was going to happen to him. You put him in a position to die. Your intention towards him was murderous. And you got him killed. And, you know, so people that do all of these things, they are guilty of the blood of the innocent, of those that suffer because of their policies decided upon in rooms in Switzerland, Geneva, in the States, halls of power around the world, in Asia, Europe. All of these decisions made at high levels, you know, that they are guilty of the blood shed on the ground. You know, when I was reading some documents sometime back of how I think it was 2004, but it was something along the lines of the United Nations pushing forced contraception and homosexuality as means of population control. So endorsing those as means of trying to control the population in countries like Africa. Now, forced contraception, abortion, and being pushed as policies, and the lives that are damaged, the unborn that are killed, you know, people bear that consequence for those decisions and those choices. See, here it is again. People need Jesus. You need salvation. Because without Him, you are guilty. I am guilty. Without Him, all of us. I put myself in that same boat too. Without the blood of Christ Jesus that forgives us and cleanses us from all sin and restores us to right standing with God, without His substitution sacrifice that was necessary for us to be made right with the Father, without that, we're done. We were done long time ago. Without that, you don't have a hope. You don't have a prayer without what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That had to happen. And thank God that it did. And that's why it's so dumb when people don't apply that to their life. When they don't, of their free will, allow Him to be Lord and choose to follow Him. Because Okay, Scripture's talking, John 3, about how because they refuse to love the truth. Well, no, not that one. It talks in John 3. Now, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil. And the condemnation that's there now is a result of that. Because people don't want truth because it comes with a standard. People don't want truth because it's going to affect your conscience. People don't want truth because they would rather go the way of the flesh and the way of the world and the way of all of that. But for children of light, for children of truth, you don't want that. You know, you may struggle with your flesh, you may struggle with thoughts in your mind, you may struggle with the externals, you may struggle with whatever, but you're still wrestling with it. Because you know why? Because you want Christ. You want God. You want His kingdom to come and His will to be done. You pray for that. You ask for that. Even in the middle of your situations where you don't know what to do, you still ask Him. And you still bow your knee before Him and you say, Lord God, which way? You know why? Because that is the core of your heart. You want that salvation. You want the abundant life that God has called for you. And now here's something about the abundant life. The abundant life is not an easy life. See, yeah, oh, hello, newsflash. Churchianity lacking lesson number 101. You know, the abundant life is a full life. It's a maximum life. It's an experience. It's a flooded life with the presence and the power and the purpose of God. But it's not an easy life. No, because God puts His people into the fire, and we go through affliction, and we go through testing and trial. We get disciplined in ways we would never ever choose. Oh my gosh. Look, for the follower of Christ, the things we go through, nobody would choose them in their right mind. I'm serious. Nobody would choose in their right mind to go through the things that we would go through as you follow Christ. Because the mind that's set for self-preservation, set for pleasure and avoidance of pain, that mind, hey, you think that mind would choose to go through the things that are in the book of Acts? Absolutely not. But those that are led by the Spirit, they are the true sons and daughters of God. They are the ones that experience the abundant life. You know what? Here's another side of it too. If you go the way that your carnal mind is set, you live a very boring, stale, dull, dead life. You live a very boring, stale, dull, dead life. And gotta spice it up. When they live that way, then they want to spice it up. That's why they got cocaine and they're putting it up their nose, because they want to numb themselves from the fact that their lives suck. That's why they're running around with their neighbor's wife. That's why they're running around midlife crises and all the rest of that stuff, because their lives suck. Because there's no connection with their creator, i.e. no connection with the purpose that they were made for in the first place, because they're not getting direction to fulfill that. And though they might have certain things in the natural, or they may not, but for the ones that have certain things in the natural, you know, even for the ones that have wealth, you know what's funny about that? Is that for the people that have wealth, they themselves, the irony of it is that, you know, that's one pursuit that people in the world go for, because they think if they can get that wealth, that'll be what fulfills them. And so most of them don't have it. Most of them are kept in debt and tricked and imprisoned that way early on. But for the ones that do have it, and they realize they're still empty, they've got one less thing that they can focus on. So they have that, but they realize that they don't have, there's still lack, there's still emptiness. And if you add in the women, and if you add in the substance abuse, and if you add in power, position, pleasure, all of the P's that are out there, property, sure, why not? If you add in the different things that people go for, and they realize that the amassing of these things for themselves, that they still lack, they're still empty. And yes, that's a good time then for them to bring in that form of godliness that denies the power thereof, i.e. religion. Yayas. Religion. Gotta give me some religion. Yes, okay. So here's religion's role in this whole process too. Now, they know that death is somewhere out there, and they know that when this thing wraps up, they're not okay. So, now what do you gotta do? Well, you gotta find somebody spiritual, quote unquote, that will validate your life and the choices you've made and the things that you do in such a way that you can cope with your insanity that you now live with. Cope with the contradiction between what you know is right in your conscience and what you do, which is another way. You worship a different God. So you got to cope with that somehow. So how do you do it? Well, if you can find the guy that's gone to cemetery, whatever it is. No, I knock on those, but hey, I do have a problem with the conformity. I do have a problem with selling the truth. But
you
got to find somebody to validate you. So if you got the guy with the degree on the wall, or the robe, or the hat, or whatever it is, the symbols of spiritualism, and others that validate it, because hey, when we have groupthink, all these thousands of people, they couldn't be wrong, right? So I must be okay too. They all jump in. They all say it's okay. And if you get enough of them together, and then nobody wants to say the emperor doesn't have clothes. that he's naked. If you don't know that story, check it out. The little boy that said, hey, the emperor doesn't have any clothes. While everybody else was raving about his invisible clothes because the guy had been conned, and finally some little kid stated the obvious. Because they deceived the emperor, saying that only the wise people and the smart people and the intelligent ones could actually see the clothes, because they're made of such special fabric. So the emperor, he wouldn't say that he couldn't see it, and everybody else was proven to be an idiot at the end. You know, when this life wraps up and things are shown for what they are, it's going to be quite an interesting revelation. You know, even from myself, look, I'm not asking for people to follow me. Look, I'm not asking people for anything. If there's one thing that we could ask you for, the team, that the guys that we put this together and we put it out there, just because it's something that God's given us to do, and so we do it out of obedience. If there's one thing we could ask you for, just one thing, it would be that you would pray for us. It would be that you would pray for God's protection, God's leading and God's guiding, the strength to fulfill His call and His purpose and to stay on track. It would be for that. We don't need to pray about provision. That's already covered in the Word. We don't need to pray about... because what is the Word cover? Hey, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The things that you need, it's going to be taken care of. I.e., all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6. So, we don't worry about that. Why? Because it's already covered. I mean, if we need some clarification on something specifically going on, sure, we'll pray about it. But we don't stress about those things. The thing that we ask, though, is just that you keep us in prayer. It's nice that the website is self-sustaining. Hey, that's good enough. You know, it's out there. And God's answered our prayers in that we can do this in a way that... you know, we can do this in a way that, you know, look, we can say whatever it is that God gives us to say, period, and put it out there. And it is what it is. You know, we've had people try to get us to take stuff down. We've had people try to, they have not liked certain things that we put up there. They won't argue with the truth of it, but they haven't liked the style or the implications or the fact that it reveals certain things that people don't want out there. Hey, look, we just put it out. That's it. God's, whatever it is that God gives us to do, we try to do it. And we let it land and fall where it is. Because one thing is that success is in the obedience. The results are in His hands. See, if you live your life and if your faith is contingent on the results, you're going to be very disappointed. Why? Because the results are in His hands. And you can't see the big picture. We can't see the big picture. It's like American football, a game. The result is the end of the game, is the score at the end. So you get a player that goes in for a series or a few plays, which is kind of what our lives are. Our lives are just a series, a few plays. That's it, and then we're out. But we're just part of the team. We're just playing that role that we have to play, period. And, you know, with that team, there's a quick thing that needs to be done. You may just be called to go in and take a block. That's it. That's the purpose you were sent into the whole game, was to go in to take a block. Okay. But do you understand that we trust our coach? We trust the one that's in control. We trust our Father. Hey, you know something? Be glad for one that you're on the winning team. Hey, be glad to start with that you're on the winning team. If you didn't know that, read the end of the book. Go check out the book of Revelation and read the end of the book. Read that book. And you realize that at the close of this whole thing ends very well for the children of God. And in the process of it ending as well, we're on the winning team. So while the wicked prosper seemingly in this life, do their shenanigans, do all of their things, gang stalk, play their games, whatever it is that they do, which they do to their own destruction, to their own hurt, all of that. Everything said and done, you're on the winning team. Think about Jesus in his life. If you were at the crucifixion and you didn't know the rest of the story, it would have looked to you like this thing was over and lost. I mean, scriptures say if the powers of darkness, if they had known what God was doing with that whole thing, they would have done everything they could have to have stopped the crucifixion. If they had known about the resurrection, they would have done all they could to stop the crucifixion. Isn't it funny how God, in his wisdom, in his power, in his omnipotence, in his divine plan and purpose, showed his love for us and forced, at the same time, forced the devil's hand, set him up, put the devil between a rock and a hard place, and the world thought, oh, this is it, it's over. And he took his best shot, Jesus took it, popped back up. And in him we live and move and have our being. In Christ Jesus, we have the victory. In Christ Jesus, the very best shot that the devil and your enemies and all of them have, Jesus already took it and bounced right back. And we overcome in him. So you know what? Hey, be encouraged. Because your redemption draweth nigh. And he's got you. He's got me. He's got us. He's going to carry us through. He will make a way for you where it seems like there is no way. He will strengthen your heart. He will encourage you. He will build you up. He's got you. So don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. And whatever you're worried about, look, Jesus said, be anxious about nothing. It's the epistles, but it's the word of God. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. The peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. Rest in Christ Jesus. And with that, I bid you shalom. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. God bless you guys. Love you. Catch up with you again sometime soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.